She welcomed you with a smile on that first day of kindergarten, or your middle school teacher saw your potential and gave you an encouraging word. Truth is, you've had a lot of teachers in your life, and we'd like to give you the opportunity to say thank you to one of them. Focus on the Family wants to hear your story of how a teacher made a difference in your life. Share it with us when you call 855-64-THRIVE. That's 855-648-4748.
Glynis, why do we enjoy celebrations so much or so little?
Well, I think we're all in sort of a busy life, and celebrations give us a chance to press the pause button and to just relax and enjoy our family. And for me, that's the highlight of any celebration.
Well, and there's always a good element of food somewhere in the mix as well, I think. And that's,
I hope so.
That's Glynis Whitwer, and she's joined along with Karen Eamon on today's Focus on the Family broadcast. We're going to be talking about family celebrations, how to make the most of them. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, here at Focus, we love to see families thrive, and a great way to do that is by finding ways to celebrate together. We try to do that every night around the dinner table, but it's not quite the same as celebrating Memorial Day or Labor Day or some of the things, and we want to talk about that today. Perhaps Thanksgiving and Christmas we're going to hold for a different time, because those are the biggies. But let's talk about all the others and talk about how we can bring family together to create tradition and celebration and enjoy each other's time, especially while you have those kids at home.
Well, Karen and Glynis are experts in this. They've written a book called Everyday Confetti. They're both involved with Proverbs 31 Ministries in the communications area. And we're so glad to have the both of you with us today.
Well, thank you.
Great to be here.
Hey, why are traditions, why are they so important to us?
I think they really help us to forge our family identity, to say this is how we do things in our family. And I know for me, we tend to have a lot of teenagers at our house that are not people who share our same last name. And sometimes they'll ask about the crazy things we're doing or the certain food that we're having on a Friday night. And my kids will always answer, oh, it's an Eamon thing. And I think it just helps to, you know, whether you're a Jones or a Smith or whatever your last name is, to have a thing that is unique to your family. It really helps to forge a family identity and make some special memories.
Well, let's talk about an example. We just passed Memorial Day. How did you celebrate Memorial Day in your family?
Well, we have a very good reason to celebrate Memorial Day because we have very close friends who lost a son in Iraq. And so we tend to try to do something for them, to spend some time with them, to thank them for their sacrifice. You know, that's kind of hard every time.
How do you do that? What would you do?
Just to spend time with him. There's a monument erected to him in our local park. We might go put flowers there. We might just give him a call and say, hey, I'm thinking about you today. How you doing? Just to acknowledge their pain in the passing of their son and not just let Memorial Day be a day that the world just grills out and has fun.
That's one of the ones that I think a lot of people miss. I mean, it's the beginning of summer, and we're all excited to, you know, light up the barbecue and spend time together. But I don't think we really stop and acknowledge what it means.
Yeah. Well, my father's a veteran, and so one of the things we've done with our children is we've gone to the Veterans Memorial Cemetery. And this past year, I took my kids and we prayed for our veterans that were alive and just remember those that had, that had passed.
That's a good thing to do. You turn the corner, you're getting into summer. What would you do in June?
Boy, there's a lot of downtime in the summer sometimes, and I think kids start to do that I'm bored chant about 3 weeks after school's out, even though they couldn't wait to get out of school. So I think it's fun to just throw a little bit of something exciting and mysterious maybe even in the mix, maybe get the family out of bed on a Saturday morning. Don't tell them where you're going and just head off to some mystery trip.
Now, would this be under the guise of end of school time?
Yeah.
And let's have an end of school party?
Absolutely. Or just
outing.
School's out. Schedule's gone. It's a little bit less structured.
Now, we did that. What I did was the beginning of school and the end of school, the boys get a movie and a milkshake. That's
one of
the traditions that we started. And mom's not too happy about the milkshake part. But that's the best part.
Protein.
Yeah.
And but that's something they love to do. And finding an appropriate movie that we can go to. And that's a little tradition that we do.
Yeah, it's a daily thing, right?
It's a daily thing, right. July 4th, what are you going to do for July 4th?
Again, so often it's just a day people think to just watch fireworks and have a cookout. But maybe you could start to do a little history lesson with your kids, come up with some trivia things about the 4th of July and see how much they know, or take turns reading the Declaration of Independence out loud, just anything that will help them to realize why we celebrate that holiday in the first place.
Yeah, we actually have some movies that are themed around very patriotic ideas. You could pick one of them we came up with was Johnny Tremaine, kind of an old movie. You could find that probably at a library.
Johnny Tremaine, I've never seen it.
That's a Walt Disney movie. We also talked about maybe having some trivia about the 4th of July and maybe seeing what you know about it. I mean, one of the things that's fascinating is that John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died on the 4th of July. So bring a little history lesson into it. How about reading Patrick Henry's famous speech, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death? I mean, you could just do a little bit of research on your own and bring a little history into it as well.
That's a great idea.
I like those ideas. Jim, as you may recall, my wife celebrates her birthday on July 4th. And she's very, very good about sharing it with a national holiday. I usually have off and we're doing something together as a family. There is a dynamic there, though. And throughout the year, there are children or spouses who have birthdays on those holidays. How do we help them celebrate without getting lost in all of that?
Well, one thing we have instituted at our house, because we have a very close to Christmas birthday in my husband, is we celebrate half birthdays. We will pick the exact day 6 months later or 6 months earlier, because it ends up being the same, and we will make half a birthday cake. They'll get a couple presents, and we celebrate their half birthday because they kind of get ripped off on their real birthday because it's so close to a holiday.
Is it only true for the ones that have a birthday close to a super holiday, or do you do that for everybody?
We've done it for some of the other kids, too.
But not
all of them, not always. I think the other ones, the ones they have to share with that national holiday, I think they get a little ripped off.
That's almost special treatment.
Yeah, I'm not sure my wife wants one more birthday to celebrate,
though. Have you told Dina the fireworks are really for her, not for the nation?
Yes, that's exactly what she has not believed me yet.
Yeah, she must love you. You have another one in the book that you talk about, Best Friends Day. That's the first time I've seen that. Is that a formal holiday, June 8th?
Well, you know, there some different card companies and such and calendar companies recognize it.
This is the Hallmark celebration.
Yes, but there are a lot of different things that you can do on Best Friends Day.
Yeah, we had such fun with this book because we wanted to think of what little random holidays are out there that as moms we can kind of play up. And so this one was one we found and we thought, wouldn't it be fun? I mean, in a time where it's really hard to find time to get together with friends, take a day where you're going to really reinvest in an old friendship maybe. That might mean calling an old friend, taking a friend out to lunch, maybe making a picnic and inviting a group of friends. So just for fun, let's have some time with friends.
Especially face-to-face friendships, because so often we're connecting with our friends on social media, but we don't have a lot of time face-to-face to just celebrate our friendship.
You invented another one, and these are great. I mean, I've never heard of these, but I like the Best Friend Day, but Book Lover's Day.
Oh, that one caught my
eye.
Now,
Lover's
is that
Day.
Formal or is that a made-up one?
It actually is. It's August 9th, yes, and it's just a day to celebrate the bookworms in your life or to celebrate the favorite authors in your life. You know, maybe you have a child that really, really loves Peter Rabbit, so you're going to read some Beatrix Potter books that day and you're going to have a rabbit-themed lunch. Yeah,
vegetables?
I actually did this with my kids. We had vegetable soup from Mr. McGregor's garden, and we read the books out loud, and we researched a little bit about the author. But you could do it with any book that you love.
Yeah, you could plan a trip to the library and get a great little picture book and be spontaneous as well. We love to have themes, and so a little book is a great idea to play off of and build
a
day around.
I really like that.
And too, I'm big for outreach. One time we made homemade vegetable soup that had alphabet pasta in it, alphabet vegetable soup, and we invited the librarian over for dinner.
Oh my goodness, yeah. That is quite creative.
It was fun.
Why do you think we don't think of these things or we hesitate? Why not have fun in life like that, to do something like that? What keeps us from doing these things?
I think, first of all, we're too busy. We have too much going on, so we don't have that time carved out to maybe do some of these fun things. And then I think we either lack ideas. Or on the other end of the spectrum, we have too many ideas thrown at us by social media, Pinterest boards, magazines, television shows. And somehow the subtle message that's given is if you can't do it perfect, like all the experts do, then don't do it at all.
Well, and I think a lot of moms think they have to be spontaneous. And that word's not even in any definition of me. So I think that what I would love to speak into moms' lives is plan. You know, start at the beginning of the month and just look through the month. Pick one or two things. Don't go crazy. Don't set yourself up to fail. But pick a couple things that you can do this month. And just by a little bit of advanced planning, it's amazing the pressure that gets taken off of you. And you can share it, find other people's ideas, and schedule it into your day.
You know, one thing we have here at Focus on the Family is something we call the Thriving Family Summer Calendar. And it weaves spiritual lessons into it, but doing fun things. And John, we'll post how to get a hold of that on the website, and we'll get more information at the end of the program.
Yeah.
That's another thing to add to it. But again, let me ask you this. Why do we succumb to just the burdens of life? I want to get there because I can feel that way. I mean, at times I come home at night, I'm tired. This sounds like something my mom would have done. My mom was really creative and had a great sense of humor, and she was part of the PTA, and she always wrote the class play and all these kinds of things. It seemed like a different life back then. This is when I was like 5, 6, and 7.
It is different. I think we've entered into an era where we react to things. We wake up and there's emails waiting for us. And so my day can start by reacting and responding to people. It puts me in a mode that I'm not proactive, where if I'm answering the needs of everybody else, if I'm responding to the questions of everybody else, it can be easy to put myself and my family last. And it almost is like the demands of so many people just shout out and crowd out the demands really that my Heavenly Father is asking me to do. And so it's just, I think it's a whole societal issue.
I'm just thinking about that because we live so comfortably as human beings in the kind of the naysayer category. If for some reason, it's just comfortable as humans to be there. You know what, I'm tired, I'm overworked, people are pulling on me. And we don't go out of our way. It takes a little initiative to simply say, okay, today I want to make life special. I want to do something special for someone else. I want to do something special for the children so they'll remember this day. What if we woke up with that attitude each and every day? And in some ways, I get a picture of God like that, that's what he would be like if you're walking with Jesus when he walked. Come on, guys, let's go do something different today.
Yeah.
It's kind of the attitude I see in the scripture when it talks about how the Lord walked the earth.
And he pressed pause, too. I mean, when there were many people demanding his time, that was when he chose to step away.
I mean, you think about it, the Lord in that courtyard or wherever it may have occurred, and he looks at Matthew the tax collector. Of course, all the religious people looking at him. It's that moment. It's a party moment. He said, hey, Matthew, I'm going to come to your house for dinner tonight, and we're going to have some fun. That's kind of the paraphrase of what I felt Jesus was saying. And guess what? Kind of those religious people didn't like that. Have fun. How do you have fun with a sinner like that?
Yeah, I think maybe we even devalued it. Like, we don't really put the value on that type of gathering as much as we could. I mean, there's things that happen in that those moments together that we can't happen any other time.
And our guest today, as we talk about celebrations and making life special and doing so without too much guilt, because I think that's a big part of the problem that we have, are Karen Eamon and Glynis Whitwer. They're authors, bloggers, speakers, and their book is called Everyday Confetti, Your Year-Round Guide to Celebrating Holidays and Special Occasions. And we'll be happy to send that along to you for your gift of any amount today when you call us or go to focusonthefamily.com/radio. And be sure to check out that Thriving Family Summer Calendar that Jim mentioned. We'll link over there from the website as well.
Okay, this one might be a bit selfish on my part because we enjoy camping. And that's not necessarily a book lover's day or a special friend's day. It's just camping. And getting out and spending time together with your family for a week or so in the wilderness, we just love it. When it rains, we play games. When it's sunny, we're out playing and just spending time together. How do we approach those kind of summer camping experiences in a good way?
Well, you know, camping's funny. It's big in my family. We're big campers. Everyone except for me, because, well, my idea of roughing it is slow room service. And when my husband comes home and announces that we're going to take a 7-day camping trip, you know what I immediately think? No, we're not going camping for 7 days. We're going camping for 21 meals, and I'm going to have to make them all. So it seems to add a little stress to me. But we've learned to work with it and get around it. We enjoy tent camping. And I know Glynis' family, they're big on camping.
Yeah, I kind of refuse to sleep on the ground. So my husband got me a tent trailer so I could sleep on a bed. And then once I had a place to sleep, I was I'm good to go anywhere.
You and Jean are in the same boat. How do you approach that to be maybe even a little different in the camping experience, not just trudging through and hiking, but do you do things that are unique in that moment to point to God, to do things that highlight that moment?
Well, we're big national park fans, and so years ago we got the national park passport, which you get a stamp when you go to a national park. So as a family, what that's done for us is just, again, it's we're getting our passport stamped. So we will pick a national park that we haven't been to and plan a trip completely around it.
That's a great idea.
Well, and I think it helps, too, to just get out of the cement and the buildings and the brick and get out into God's creation and to let your kids experience, you know, getting dirty and running around and playing in the river, whatever it is that they don't get to do by growing up in a just an average house in America, to get out and enjoy God's creation.
Mm. Now, Karen, I'm imagining that there are many moms and wives listening to you when you did the math really quickly and said 21 meals.
Yeah, so, she did do that.
So address that. How do you deal with that without getting stressed out?
Well, I think when we first started camping, I thought I had to cook just like I did at home when we were camping. So I had to have, you know, something nice for dinner every night, something different.
Are you kidding? It's hot dogs.
I know. I've come to
beans
realize.
Beans and weenies.
Yes. Beanie weenie casserole every night is going to just be fine. But we've learned to do some just shortcut ideas. I do a lot of the prep work before. I make these little pork packets where I take pork chops and put a little cream of mushroom soup and some sliced green peppers and onions and roll the pork chop up in the little tin foil,
hey,
and it's already ready.
With you?
Yeah,
this
really
sounds good.
So it's already ready, and you can
weenies.
you can do the same thing with chicken breasts and put a little Italian dressing on it, seal it up, and they're already done. All you got to do is throw them on the fire when you get there. So I think, you know, not to freak out too much that you're going to be cooking and change that campfire the whole time, but to do some prep work beforehand can save you a lot of trouble, and to realize they're fine with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or hot dogs over the fire three nights in a row. They love that.
And the good news is, moms, when you're camping, the kids really don't care what they're eating.
Right.
So don't worry about it. Just put something together. Well, and Dad, help out.
One thing I learned to do was to create a list, a master camping list. So I was, you know, we'd get camping and I'd be like, oh, I forgot this, or I forgot that. So I decided I was going to create a master list so that all I had to do was pull my list up and make sure that I didn't forget the charcoal or something, you know, basic like that. And that master list helped. It's a great tool.
I need that list for our trailer. We have a fifth wheel. So last year I drove away and left the little antenna up that we never use. We never watch TV, but it was up. I think I was testing it. And I drove away, caught a tree, and ripped it off.
I didn't hear about that. Oh, golly. Well, we've got lists, but we always seem to forget something, even though we have multiple master lists. I mean, we're not really the paragon.
There's no one master list.
No.
Well, let's move out of camping. Let's come into the fall. You know, we have Labor Day. What would you do on Labor Day? Have everybody clean the house?
No, I think Labor Day, yeah, it's a time to cease from working, but I think it can be also a time to honor your boss. Maybe think of something nice, give him a little gift certificate, him or her, and maybe write a thank you note for being your boss all year long and giving you the day off so you can enjoy Labor Day with your family.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, after Labor Day, and in fact, Karen and I were just talking about this, it's Patriots Day. It's September 11th. And so we were just talking because I have two sons who want to be police officers, one who wants to be a canine officer. And I just found out that the canine unit in my city, they don't have vests for their dog officers. So I thought, great goal as a family, what we're going to do this year before September 11th is to try to raise funds for the canines to actually have vests. So who are your first responders in your city? Take some time to acknowledge and thank them.
That's a fantastic
idea.
Like that.
Yeah.
Let's move to the next big one, which is Halloween, a real difficult one in the Christian community. And everybody tends to dig in their heels one way or the other. Either let your kids enjoy it or don't do anything with it because it's so dangerous. What would you advise us to do with Halloween?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of friendships be, you know, fractured because of Halloween, and are you or aren't you going to celebrate it? So I think it's a personal thing. We've actually done it both ways. For years, we didn't celebrate Halloween. And then when we moved from the country into a neighborhood that was big on Halloween, we decided that we needed to kind of take this time to reach out to our neighbors, get to know them, and as we could, with clear consciences, celebrate and let the kids dress up. So I think you just need to decide what works for your family and then not judge others. But regardless of where you fall, spend it as a day of prayer. And then just as a way to share the love of Christ as you are greeting kids that come to your door or as maybe you're taking your children around.
Yeah. And I just wonder, you know, what would Jesus have done? That's always a good question to come back to. Where would he have been on Halloween? Would he have been shining that light in the darkness, or would he have gone someplace. I tend to think he'd be that light. I think he'd be somewhere showing love and showing kindness and being a light in the darkness.
I've really appreciated the fact that a lot of churches have grabbed that weekend or whenever it falls to do a fall celebration, mm-hmm. and kids can come. We number of churches here in Colorado Springs do a very good job of celebrating a fall festival, and they'll have rides and face painting and treats for the kids, and it ends up being a fun time. Our boys, when they were younger, we took them there. What about New Year's? How do you celebrate New Year's in a way that your kids can say, okay, Mom and Dad, they're not being hypocrites?
Open house, a great way just to, again, inviting people into your home and have a potluck, have game nights. I mean, a great way to celebrate. Again, I believe Jesus would have been at the party. But to just have a great, healthy focus on it.
And the one that we guys seem to trip over so much, Valentine's. I mean, it's got to be better than chocolate and flowers, right? Now, half the men I just crush because they said that's exactly what I plan to get my wife. But it's a bit boring nowadays.
You know, I like it when my husband does out-of-the-box things for Valentine's Day. I used to, when we were first married, I wanted the fancy chocolates and I wanted the roses. And I didn't want the ones from the grocery store. I wanted the expensive roses that came in the box with the nice gold seal.
Oh.
So I knew he went to the florist in town.
Certified roses.
Yes. And that I was a little high maintenance back then. But as I grew as a wife and as we got older and had children that cost money, now I have the opposite kind of view. And if he gets those fancy roses, I'm like, what, are you kidding me? You can't spend that much money. Why don't you just pick them on the clearance rack at the grocery store? Or better yet, just walk out and pick me a dandelion on a random day, you know, and
wow,
bring it to me and say, I was thinking of you. So I think for wives, I think we need to lower our expectations of all of this perfection and romance and just to spend some time together. We like to get out our wedding album and we just reminisce about our wedding. We get out our photo albums of our kids when they were little and see how our love has grown over the year. Just a real simple thing to do that doesn't cost any money.
That's a great idea.
Well, another thing you could do as a family is read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and take a look at each component of it and say, you know, how can we live this out in our life this year? It's kind of the beginning of the year. It's a great time to take a look at how can we love more as a family.
Not to interrupt you, Glennis, but we actually did that one year and we put it on our refrigerator door, the whole love chapter, love is patient, love is kind, but we took out the word love and we put a blank for each place where the word love was. And then whenever anybody in the family caught someone else in the family exhibiting that characteristic, maybe my son saw his sister be patient with him when she was trying to teach him something, he would write her name in that blank on the refrigerator door. And we did this a couple weeks before Valentine's Day. And then on Valentine's Day, we took it down and it read something like Spencer is patient, Mackenzie is kind, and we got to see these different characteristics of love played out in our family.
You have really good kids. My kids.
Yeah, they were little back then. I don't know if they'd be there without.
Troy stole my G.I. Joe. No, they're good with that. Glennis, let me ask you this. You talk about an interesting day that I caught in your book. It's called Tell a Story Day, which I guess is officially April 27th.
It is. You don't have to wait till April 27th to start telling stories. But I grew up hearing my mom tell stories all the time. Well, first she would tell stories of her growing up days, which were very different back in New Mexico and the whole Dust Bowl era. But then every night we had a story read to us and we'd alternate rooms and we'd finish one book and go on to the next. And it's just amazing the power of telling stories, whether it was her personal story or another story. I mean, I couldn't hear enough of her stories. I would ask over and over and over again. So I think our kids want to know our stories, you know, and maybe this is a great day. Start remembering some of those things that you did when you were a child. I mean, if I told my kids, we used to go dumpster diving when I was little. Now I've told them that. They love to hear that
dumpster
story.
Dumpster diving.
I know there was a Walgreens and a dumpster
in college,
behind
clothing.
Although the things that my parents let me do, I would never let my kids do these days. But they love to hear those stories. So tell a story. Think of something. And
so it's not reading from a book necessarily, although that's okay, but you're saying share from your heart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say don't underestimate the power of the stories of your own childhood.
You don't have to make it complicated.
Well, and then what about your parents or your grandparents? Are they still alive? How many of us wish we had some of those stories on tape? Mm. You know, get family members to tell stories as well.
You know, as we close right now, we've already celebrated Mother's Day and we have Father's Day in front of us. Talk about those 2 days and how we can celebrate them.
Well, you know, one thing that I think of when I think of Mother's Day and Father's Day is to just give our parents words of gratefulness. I know one thing I did for my mom one year was I wrote my 50 favorite memories of my mom.
Wow.
And I gave that to her on Mother's Day because honestly, my mom doesn't need any more perfume or a new scarf. I mean, she buys all those things herself. But I thought, what could I give her that no one else could give her? And it was those special memories that I had growing up, the things that I wrote down of remembering what her perfume smelled like when she would rock me in the rocking chair when I was sick, or the one time she strapped on my roller skates and roller skated around in the basement around our pool table. She didn't even remember that. But when she read it, it brought a tear to her eye. And she said, I do remember that. Mm. And just think of those little simple moments that happened when we were growing up, and to, if our parents are still alive, to thank them for it.
Well, daughter like mother, I see some tears in your eyes, too.
You guys always make me cry when I come here.
No, I mean, that's sweet. And those are the things that you remember, those special moments. And that's really what we've been talking about this whole time, is how do you make a moment that rests in your child's heart forever, and it's positive, and it's happy, and it's comfort. And that's a good thing.
For Mother's Day, I think one gift every mother would love is a family portrait. Arrange that for mom. I mean, she can't get enough pictures of her kids. And for Father's Day, I think dads just love for you to spend time with them. Doing something that dad loves. So that might be sitting and watching golf. You know, that might not be your favorite thing to do, but what dad wouldn't love to have a somebody sitting on the couch with a bowl of popcorn watching golf or a movie that he wants to watch. So spending time with dad seems to be the best gift of all.
Well, let's put it to the test. So, John, what do you like to do on Father's Day?
I can't remember.
Clean the garage.
We don't have enough traditions. Yeah, there you go. We'll all assemble the garage.
Let's all clean the garage. That's my happy Father's Day.
I like that.
Yeah, that's sick. That's what that is. Hey, it has been great to have both Karen Eamon and Glynis Whitwer talk about their book, Everyday Confetti. These are some wonderful ways that you can celebrate. And you know what? When it comes right down to it, we need to be celebrating more in our lives. It's a great tradition for families to have moments of celebration. And hopefully their kids will grow and love them and repeat them in their own families. So thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Well, you've given us so many good ideas these past 30 minutes or so, and I'm confident that many of our listeners are excited to start celebrating those moments that have been a little bit overlooked with their family, and maybe even starting some new traditions. Now, as Jim mentioned, the book title, as written by our guests, is Everyday Confetti. And it's full of ideas. It's got recipes. It helps you understand some of those non-traditional and overlooked celebrations. And this is a book to keep handy, to pull down year-round, and to use to really cement some family memories. And I appreciated both the personal and the heartfelt stories in the book by both our guests and the various authors and other contributors. So find a way to make lasting memories through these everyday celebrations, and Everyday Confetti can help you do that. We'll send a copy to you for a donation today to Focus on the Family of any amount. You can donate when you call us. It's 800-A-FAMILY, 800-232-6459, or online at focusonthefamily.com/radio. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller, inviting you to join us next time when we'll hear from comedian Jeff Allen and once again turn our hearts toward home.